Well, welcome everybody, and thanks for joining us on this Sunday afternoon in Las Vegas. My name is Ken Dagerlund, and I will be your co-host for the next 75 minutes in this session called Managing Third-Party Updates with System Center Configuration Manager Service Pack 1. A little about myself, as you can hear from my accent, then I'm not a native citizens of Nevada. I come from Copenhagen in Denmark, where I work for a company called Cortec. I'm a config manager, MVP, and have been working with the config manager and patching for the last several years, actually ever since 96. On me on stage here, I have my good friend and fellow MVP, Lawrence. And Lawrence, do you want to introduce yourself?
Greetings, everybody. Lawrence Garvin. I'm currently employed by SolarWinds as a head geek, and I'm a WSS MVP and have been since 2005, I believe.
So you have been around.
So what we're going to cover today is we're going to first talk about a little bit of the considerations for third-party updates and why you should be concerned about them. And then we're going to look at some solutions for how you can address that problem using Configuration Manager.
Let's get started. First off, we really need to understand what patch management is all about. To many in the room here, patch management is mostly about creating a package. You're told by your security manager that you need to patch Java, and then you go ahead, use Config Manager to create that package. You do it without really knowing how many vulnerabilities you have in your environment. You don't know how many are actually running the different Java versions. The only thing you have to rely on is your inventory data. So to fully understand patch management, we really need to have a solid solution. A solid solution will bring us vulnerability intelligence, meaning instead of guessing, we will actually have a system where we know all the vulnerabilities, we know their criticalities, and we know exactly what we are dealing with. In order to get us that, we need to be able to scan for those vulnerabilities right out of the box. A Microsoft software update solution will scan for vulnerabilities, but only in your operating system. And the stuff we're dealing with today is actually all your third-party updates, and they're not part of that scan by default. Third, we also need to be able to create them patches. And this is also one of the bigger headaches, especially when we talk about third-party patching. We don't want to have a default Java installed. We want to customize Java. We don't want to have a default Adobe Reader installed. We want to remove the Adobe Reader shortcuts. Maybe we want to accept the end user license agreement. We want to get rid of all those annoying pop-ups asking the end user to automatically upgrade the software whenever there is a new version around. And finally, we want to make sure that we can actually deploy them patches. Deploying the patches is what Config Manager does extremely well, right out of the box. It's an extremely good software distribution system. It has been like that for years. That makes up our patch management solution. So patch management is much more than just patch deployment. As I said, it's also being able to create the patches, being able to get some vulnerability intelligence in here.
So let's talk a little bit about why to be concerned about third-party updates. And this graph kind of puts it in real good perspective. Historically, we've been focused on those Microsoft updates, and that for a very long time was where a lot of the security threat came from things that were native in the operating system, and so we focused on Windows security patches. But in recent years, that threat landscape has radically changed. So you notice on the pie chart here now, Microsoft programs only account for 14% of the vulnerabilities that are being dealt with. The other 86% are coming from third-party programs, and that number has almost doubled since 2006, so a very significant upturn from that.
And as a follow-up to what Garvin just said, here's a slide showing the number of vulnerabilities detected in 2012. And as you can see, there has been a steady increase ever since we started detecting these. The absolute number of vulnerabilities detected in 2012, and these numbers here are based on scanning 6 million devices, was almost 10,000. So what you're seeing here in the chart is only the top 50 applications, but that was discovered in 2,500 products, and those products came from 421 different vendors. And we can see a pretty good increase in the numbers here. I don't expect that this will actually decrease over the next couple of years. Another interesting chart before we start our demos here, that is where to begin. Three months ago, I visited a customer down in Georgia, and we installed this security solution. We gathered inventory data, only gathered inventory data from 1,000 hosts. It resulted in more than 3,000 vulnerabilities being detected. That's a lot of vulnerabilities, and the thing is, we only have one guy down there who's sole responsible is actually to go ahead and start patching these updates of these vulnerabilities. And being a single guy, being responsible for all of this, you need to know where to begin. And recent research has shown that in order for us to get, in order for us to really get reach 80% risk reduction, we can either patch the most critical updates first. And in order for us to get 80% risk reduction, we need to be able to discover the 12 of the most critical applications we have. Or if we, instead of looking at the criticality, only looks at where the updates are or where the applications are installed, then we need to find the first 37 most prevalent updates out there in order to get the same risk reduction. So this really tells us that having the vulnerability intelligence, it's extremely important in order to know where we should begin.
So, with all of that in mind, you might think, maybe we're doomed because there's just too much out there to be done. And it's kind of hard to keep up. But the good news is we're not. There are solutions for this that can make the process much easier, and we're going to be talking about those in this next section.
And I'm so glad we're not doomed. That would be horrible, especially here on the first day of the conference. So the first solution we have in here is SCUP, System Center Updates Publisher. It has been around for several years. It's a free application from Microsoft. And regardless of what I install, SolarWinds, Secunia, other applications, I will always install SCUP in my environment. SCUP, to set the sales here, is an authoring tool, meaning that you can go in and create, author your own custom updates. And they don't have to be security-related updates, which makes SCUP a pretty neat tool, so it could just be an update of an in-house application. And Lawrence is actually going to demonstrate this a little later today. You can also use it as a publishing tool. A lot of vendors is giving us free catalogs. Those catalogs, they contain ready-made updates for us. All we need to do is maybe just do a few tests and checks and then publish those updates into a WSUS. Once the updates reach WSUS, it's actually, for me as a config manager administrator, the experience is almost the same as working with normal software updates. So we are still working with software update groups, we are still working with deployments, we are still working with collections and so on. As you notice here in the last line, there is support for executables, MSI, and MSP-based updates. Some of you might be wondering about the MSU updates. They're not supported in here, but you will be able to take your MSU update using the DSIM tools, convert them into an executable, and then by doing that, you can actually inject them into to SCUP. And there is a TechNet blog on that, and we have a link to that TechNet blog at the end.
So let's talk a little bit about the requirements for installing and using System Center Updates Publisher. And here we're talking about version 2011, of course. And I think the most important thing to notice from the first line of the slide is that Windows XP is not listed. So if for some reason you need to do authoring and publishing from a Windows XP system, you would need to use the previous version 4.5. 2011 will install on Vista and later systems, and Windows Server 2008 later systems. Of course, it talks to the WSS server, so it'll need one of those. You'll also need a signing certificate for those updates. By default, the Windows Update infrastructure will only install packages that have been signed by a Microsoft certificate authority. So the local certificate authority, either a self-signed certificate or from your enterprise PKI, is needed in order to authorize those clients to install content created locally. SCUP can be used with either System Center Configuration Manager 2007 Service Pack 2 or 2012, and that can be beneficial if you're in the process of migrating from one to the other, so you can use that installation to run both environments. A key point to note about SCUP, however, is that it is a single-user application. So if you have multiple persons doing authoring or publishing, they won't directly have a shared database environment to work in. Now, there are some ways to work around that, and I'm going to ask Kent to comment on that because I'm not intimately familiar with them. But that's an important thing to remember, is that SCUP installation is a per-user sort of thing.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So when you install SCUP, what it will do is it will actually install the database in your user profile, which, in my opinion, might not be the brightest of ideas, but that's how it is. What you can do after you have done the installation is go into the configuration XML file, and then in there you can add in a line where you specify a UNC to the database. It's not supported, but it works, which is good enough for us. And it's being used by it's absolutely being used by many. We have a blog post later, or a link later to a blog post where you can download the complete SCUP installation and configuration guide, and there is information about how to do that in that guide. So the SCUP process flow is important to understand. As I said, you can either author your own custom SCUP catalog, you can author your own updates, or you can download the catalogs, ready-made catalogs from the web. Once you publish those, you will actually inject the information into WSUS. From a config manager perspective, we honestly do not care if the updates come from SCUP or if they come from Windows Update. We don't see any difference. So next time we do a synchronization, we will automatically inject or synchronize your custom updates, and then automatically is actually not entirely correct, because in Service Pack 1 of Config Manager 2012, you actually have to go in and add that specific vendor to the list of the updates you want to synchronize. You didn't have to do that in RTM, and you didn't have to do it in CM07.
So let's talk about the signing certificate that needs to be used. So this is essentially a code signing certificate. And again, it can be created either from a PKI, or you can use a self-signed certificate, which is the most common way that's done. The certificate is initially created on the WSS server and hosted in the WSS server. And when it's distributed then to the clients, it needs to be loaded into both trusted publishers and trusted root certificate authorities. Now, that would be for a self-signed cert, obviously. for an enterprise PKI cert, then Trusted Root is going to have the root cert from the PKI. There's also a policy setting that needs to be configured for the Windows Update agent. The policy setting allows self-signed self-signed certificate updates, something to that effect. The key point here is how to go about setting this. So typically in a configuration manager environment, unlike a standalone WSS environment, there isn't a GPO currently in effect that's configuring the Windows Update agent. So you've got a couple of approaches here. You could create that GPO to set this one setting, or the other thing you could look at doing is using Configuration Manager and manage that as a setting from Configuration Manager. SCUP will actually work you through a wizard to create that certificate and push it out to the WSS server initially, and then how you get it to the clients from there can be done in a number of different ways. You can also use third-party certificates for this process if you wish, and this blog post on MSDN has some useful information on how to import those third-party certificates. One other important note to talk about regarding certificates, there have been a lot of changes in the Windows Update certificate structure over the last year. All of these are outgrowths of the Flame fiasco last May. KB2720211 is an update to the WSS server, and in addition to upgrading the Windows Update agent and changing some of that functionality, it also modifies the WSS certificate process to create 2048-bit certificates instead of 512-bit certificates. If you already have a self-signed certificate and you created it prior to applying 2720211, you will need to recreate and redistribute that certificate. If you haven't done it yet, I would encourage you to first apply the update and then create the certificate, so it's 2K bits from the start. The other thing to be aware of is 266.1.12.54, which is the Windows update that basically disables all certificates with less than 1K bit sizes. So again, if you're still using 512-bit certificates and you apply 266.1.12.54, that's going to break all of that third-party updating functionality.
So as I mentioned earlier, you can create your own catalogs. It requires a lot of time, and the issue is if you start creating your own catalogs, you will only create updates that you're aware about. And the thing is that there is a lot of stuff out there that we are not aware about. There are some free catalogs. Adobe has a catalog. It contains Reader and Flash. Dell, Hewlett Packard, Fujitsu has a catalog as well. If you start using those catalogs, I will definitely recommend testing. Once you've done that, do a little more testing, and then test again, and test again, basically. Config Manager, we have a CU1 coming out for Service Pack 1, or it's actually released. When you install CU1 on your 2012 server, it actually also installs a catalog, so you can import that catalog into SCUP, and then you can upgrade your clients by doing that. And it's a good thing. It's a controlled way of installing your clients. Otherwise, you have to go in and maybe create two different programs because you have a 32-bit client, you have a 64-bit client. But that's already taken care of if we start using the catalogs. Then we have some catalogs where we have to pay a little. So we have vCenter Protect, formerly known as SCUPdates. And then we have Patch My PC. That's a rather new catalog. I've been doing some testing for this with this catalog, and the overall quality is actually pretty high, so I can definitely recommend taking a look at this. The richness of both of these catalogs are pretty okay, so you will get something between Patch My PC. I think it's like 80 updates last time I checked, and the vCenter, the SCUPdates, it's like 800 updates, different updates. So the catalogs are actually pretty rich. And you'll be able to download a demo of those catalogs. The issue with those demos is that usually they just contain a single update, and for whatever reason, they always go and select Adobe Flash. So I don't know why. So let's have a look at the first demo in here. So This is my SCUP environment. I already did install SCUP. And trust me, it takes like 5 seconds to do the installation. It's just a single installer. Once you have installed SCUP, you'll go and do a few things. So you'll go into the options in here, and these are the options that Lawrence mentioned. And in here, the first thing you want to do is you want to set up your publishing server. So what I've done here is I've enabled publishing, and then I just connected to my remote server, and I have my server on CMO3 away from my primary site server, so I do not host the software update point on my primary site server, and it's just using the custom port in here. After that, because I do not have a PKI environment, I just went ahead and created the self-signed certificate. So it will create the self-signed certificate. All I need to do after that is I need to export the certificate, and then I need to somehow get that certificate installed on all my clients. And as Lauren said, you need to install it in the trusted root and also in the trusted publisher. There are different ways you can do that. Being a config manager consultant, I usually do not have access to create group policies or anything like that. For whatever reasons, those guys don't trust me. So what I usually do is I go in and then I create a traditional config manager package. I have my WSUS certificate package here. In the package, I will have two programs. And then I just use certutil, add the cert to the trusted root store and to the trusted publisher store, and it works every single time. I don't have to go in and create a group policy. If you have access to group policies, I mean, that's okay. If you want to do it manually, that's okay. I don't care as long as you get the certs out to the right store. Otherwise, you will end up with the error that Lawrence, he mentioned. So now when we have the cert deployed, the second thing we need to do is go into your, and now I actually have to go into my group policy so in here I have enabled the group policy setting that Lawrence mentioned, allows signed updates from an internet update service location to be installed. If you do not enable this one here, then again, when you download the updates and you start the install, you'll just get a nasty error saying, "Oh, I don't trust the publisher in here," and this is where you really don't need to do it through a GPO. You could actually create a CI and then let Settings Management and Config Manager go ahead and set these settings.
Hey Ken.
Yeah.
I noticed that you have configure automatic updates disabled in this GPO.
Yeah, that's correct. Mainly to annoy Jason. No, but I think the reason why you're asking that question is actually because there are some best practices where they say you should actually go ahead and disable configure automatic update, because by doing so you ensure that your clients, they would never ever go out to Windows Update and start downloading. I've seen that 3 times in 3 different production environments. Suddenly 2,000 servers are rebooting Tuesday afternoon, and everybody goes like, "Wow, that was fast." but there is actually, I think the reason for your question is there is a downside to doing this.
There is a downside with that, and it has to do again with this new Windows Update agent and 272.0.2.11. Because the only way to get that Windows Update agent is either from Windows Update or from self-update from the software update point. If you do have this option disabled, be aware that your clients are not going to be able to get that new Windows Update agent. And currently, there is no standalone installer, so you can't build a configuration manager package in order to distribute that Windows Update agent. I do not know if that's going to change or not. I have not heard anything that indicates it is. So this is a consideration there between this setting and being able to get that Windows Update agent updated.
So what you're saying is it's not like the old days where I actually had an installer and I could just use Config Manager to update it? So how do we deal with this? I mean, I really like to disable the setting in here. So I might have to go in and enable it for a little while, and then use my hardware inventory to gather information about the Windows Update Agent. And once it's up to date, I can go back in and disable it. Because trust me, I sleep better at night knowing that this one here is actually disabled. So now I have kind of the pre-requirements. So I've installed it. I have enabled publishing. Some of the other settings in here, like configuring Config Manager integration, it's a nice little feature. I really don't use it. But what it will do is, it before I start publishing my updates, it will query through WMI, it will query my Config Manager server, and figure out if any of my clients are actually requiring the update that I'm about to deploy. And I go like, how do they know about the update that I'm going to deploy? And of course they don't. So this feature only works when I start kind of redeploying and so on. But yeah, you can enable it. There is that wouldn't be wrong. So once I've done that, I'm actually I'm ready to start importing the catalogs. And when I go and click Add Catalogs, what it will do here is it will pull all the free available catalogs that we have. So I have the Adobe catalog. I can add that. I could add one of the hardware vendors. I could also go in here and add a custom catalog. So that would be if I, for instance, sign up for the Patch My PC or vCenter Pro. Or if I want to go in and patch my Config Manager client. So as you see here, when you start or when you install CU1 and CU2 and so on, it will automatically create a hotfix folder. And in here, you will have a SCUP subfolder. And there is the cap file. So you go in, add the publisher, SCCM2012SP1. CU1 like that. So once I've added the catalogs, I just go to my updates and then I import the catalogs that I just created. So I added in the Adobe Flash, I believe it was. For now, I will actually just import my CU1 update in here. Accept the certificate. And there you go. So here I have my Microsoft local publisher. And here you'll see I have my my updates for the console. I have the updates for the 64-bit client and 32-bit client. So if I want to publish these updates here, I can do it in two different ways. I can right-click, and then I can publish the updates directly. Trust me, that will be a nightmare to administer once you have like a lot of updates in here. So what I always do is I always assign them to a publication. So the publication is like I would go ahead and have a publication for each month. So I can go into the publications and then I can quickly see the updates that I deployed that month. So this one would be 2013. And then when I go to my publications, you'll see I have one from January where I actually published Wireshark and Firefox, and then I have the new one that I just created, and now I can go ahead and publish. And it really makes a lot of sense to do it like this, because trust me, if you start importing some of the bigger catalogs, you will have 500, 600, 700 updates in here. So just go ahead, publish my updates, and when I publish my updates, always trust Microsoft. You're not supposed to laugh there. There is one log file you really want to learn about, and that's the SCUP log file, because in here you will run into issues where it will not download the update for whatever reason. And this one will give you all the answers. So the scup.log file in here, and it's placed in the temp folder. So I've published my update, and if I go into my Config Manager environment in here, go to my software updates, then I cheated a little bit. So I've already I already imported my Wireshark update. I didn't want to waste your time on that. So I have a software update group. And if you want to learn about how to create software update groups and all of that stuff, then I know Jason Sandy has a session on that later this week. But basically here, I have my Wireshark updates, and I've created the deployment. I do not add these updates into my normal Patch Tuesday deployments because they require additional testing. Maybe they require a reboot, which I might not be doing in my Patch Tuesday deployment. So they really require additional attention in here. But I've created my software update group. I have deployed that. And if I go to one of my clients here, you'll see that the experience in here is pretty much the same as usual. And if I install this one, then if everything is okay, if the cert is okay, and so on and so forth, the experience in here would just be exactly the same as with a normal software update. And we will get back and see that it installs. Let's just go back to the slide deck. Here you go.
Okay, so now we're going to take a look in SCUP from the standpoint of authoring the updates, and we're going to look at in these particular areas of the product. And hopefully I'm going to make this look very simple as far as the work that happens inside SCUP, but I don't want to downplay the level of effort that's involved in packaging a product. So consider at this point a lot of preliminary work has already been done. We've got the installer from the vendor. We've actually installed the product on a test machine. We've seen what changes it makes on the machine. So we know the pre-installation and the post-installation environments. We know that it works the way we want it to, at least in the lab. So now we're ready to package it up so we can go put it out on some client systems. So the first thing I want to do before I actually talk about building the update itself is I want to take a moment and call attention to the rules workspace. The rules workspace gives you the ability to predefine rules and then be able to reuse those. And I think this is a great way to build packages. It will make life a lot faster if you go build the rules first and have them in a repository. In fact, the first three rules up here I have for this Java update I'm going to build, I actually built these as template rules. So the actual detail that's in the rule, you'll see in a moment, is actually zeroed out. But all of the specific options I've already predefined. So for this demonstration, we are going to build an update for JRE 7, update 17, which came out a while back. Now you can see here in my repository, I have all those previous JRE 7 updates out there. And today we're focusing just on the X64 updates. There's a couple of special things here that will give us some opportunity to look at. So we're not doing this x86 updates. That certainly is something to consider. And many organizations also, if they're using Java, need x86 on the x64 platform. That's yet another challenge. So to create this new package, we click on Create, select Software Update. And that's going to open the Create Software Update wizard. And it's basically going to walk us through step-by-step process. First thing we need to do is go out and grab that binary file. And I actually have a folder out here that has all of my JRE installers that I've downloaded from Oracle. So I'm going to grab this update 17 64-bit installer, and it's going to take a moment, validate that file for me, and it's going to drop it into my package source value. Now the other thing I need to do too is I need to tell the world how to get to that file. And in this particular case today, I'm actually just going to share this out from a local share on my workstation. But in practical purposes, you're going to have a file share somewhere in your environment that's going to have those packages. If the update is language specific, the binary file itself is language specific, you can specify that. These days, most things are not. And then you need to define the return codes. Now, in the case of Java, it uses standard return codes 0 for success and 3010 for pending reboot. Most EXE installers follow these standards, but don't count on that and don't trust the vendors. This is one of the things you would find from having done testing of that installer prior to building the package. And then the other thing we can do here is specify some command line parameters. So for this Java update, I'm going to tell it to agree to the license so I don't have the user having to select the EULA. And I'm also going to drop this Java update equals zero option in here, which is an option that's actually changed uses and purposes over time. What it does now is basically turns off the Java updater while this update is being installed, so we don't have conflicting attempts. The odds of that actually happening in the real world are pretty small, but this is a good protection anyway. We're going to click on Next, go to the next screen. This screen is the required information. This is the metadata we have to provide to define the package. So we need a title, Java runtime environment, spell it right, environment version 7, x64, update 17. It doesn't matter what you call it. That's what's going to be displayed in the console. It's for your information only. And if I hadn't already typed accidentally in the description field, it would have actually replicated that there for me. I'm just going to copy and paste that. I need to define a classification. This is actually a security update, so we'll define that as a security update. And we need to define vendors and products. Now, if we already have products or updates for those vendors, we can pick them from the drop-down list, or we can just, in this case, I'm just going to grab it off the first list. I only have one product from Oracle, so it auto-populated that for me. The More Info URL is a required field, and it's typically the online location where a user can get more information about this particular update. And I'm going to go scarf out here a link for the release notes for that update, and I'm going to paste it in here. The third screen is optional data. So typically this screen is only going to apply for security updates. For example, in Microsoft updates, a lot of these fields derive from the Microsoft process, so there might be a security bulletin ID or a KB article number. Other vendors use these sort of values as well, too. You might also want to reference any CVE IDs in here. Again, this is all purely informational purposes, so you can do with it as you want. Also in the CVE ID, if there are multiple CVEs, you could define them all in there. I'm sure this update has multiple CVEs referenced. It is, after all, a Java update, but I'm only going to define the first one. The support URL is an optional field, but in this particular case, I'm going to come back around here and I'm going to grab the link to the security bulletin. This is just a personal preference of mine. More info and support URLs, you can put whatever links you want to put in there. Those are just my particular choices. Severity, in the SCUP UI, actually severity is not a required field, but in the Microsoft Software Distribution Package schema, it actually is a required field. So we're going to go ahead and define this as a critical security update because it is. And then if you had packages that had required exclusive handling or didn't require reboots, you can specify those in these particular fields. I'm not going to get into details right here about impact and restart behavior, but there are some special considerations for those values that you should be aware of. On the prerequisite screen, any of the packages we have defined in SCUP we can use to define as a prerequisite, but more significantly here are the detectoids that are defined that we can use to define architecture and language. So I'm going to pick the detectoid here for a 64-bit machine, so the update doesn't get detected on 32-bit machines. And the other thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to define and select the detectoid so this only gets identified on an English system. Now, the reality is the update is language independent. It could install anywhere, but I've only actually tested it on an English language system, so I don't want to accidentally deploy it to somebody's Spanish or French language notebook that showed up in my environment that I wasn't aware of. If you have additional languages that you've tested, you can add those detectoids as well, too. So, for example, if I wanted to come over here and add Danish to that group, so now I've got a group that has an OR logic on it, either English systems or Danish systems. On the superseded update screen, we can define any updates that are superseded by this update. Very useful thing for Configuration Manager, a couple of different ways. By default, Configuration Manager expires superseded updates. So we can use this to our advantage to ensure that all these older updates are no longer available for deployment to the client. We can just do a select all and add. If in Configuration Manager 2012, you've turned off that option to automatically expire superseded updates, defining them as superseded still prevents the client from trying to install them. So always select those superseded updates if they are, in fact, superseded. Installable rules is where you define what systems the package applies to. So here we're going to define three rules as it comes up, and we're going to call on my saved rule sets. So I'm going to come down and pick the saved rule type here, and then it's going to go out and populate the dialog with all those saved rules I have. And I have predefined a rule for the Java registry key. So basically what I'm doing with this rule is saying is I want to make sure that Java is already installed on this machine. If Java's not installed, I don't want to update it. I don't want to try and update it. So that's all this rule does for us. We can double-click and drill into the rule and see the specific values. So we're going out and looking for this registry key out here, HKLM, Software Java Self Java Runtime Environment 1.7. And if it's there, great. And if it's not, we don't do anything else. The other thing we need to do is determine whether this particular version of Java needs to be installed. So I have this Java file version is installable rule I've defined. And you can see it defaults to zeros. So that's the way I define that template. Nothing will ever be less than zero. But I do need to come in here and paste in the current version number for this Java 17 update. And I'm going to go steal that off my cheat sheet again. So what this is basically saying is that if the current version, I'm actually testing the Java DLL file on the client. There are a number of different ways you could test different files. You could test for, but I've chosen the Java DLL in this case. And basically what I'm checking to see is if the Java DLL that's currently installed on that client is older than the version I want to put there, then this package is installable. So now I've taken care of the Java question. I do have one other need here, and that is to make sure that I put this on the right versions of Windows. So there's a couple of ways I could approach that. I could come down here and use a system rule and define the Windows versions greater than or equal to some well-known operating system. But this is a Java 64-bit update, which presents somewhat of a problem here because XP SP3 is not a valid choice for this update because there is no SP3 for Windows XP. So there's a couple of ways I could do that. I could come down here and use the custom option and then change the service pack number, and now I've got that to be an XP SP2 system for 64 bits. And I saved myself some work by actually predefining a rule for that use. Also note in these rules that we're targeting this only to workstation systems. So we're automatically excluding all server systems. Okay? This is Java. You may have server-side Java applications. You may need to patch those as well, too. A couple of different ways you could approach that. You could build this in an OR rule and add another rule for your server operating system. So I've got a server 08 SP2. Rule, or you could come up here and set the type to none, in which case it will apply to anything that's XP, SP2, or newer. Last thing we need to do is define the criteria for which the package already exists, and I have another saved rule for that. This is the Java file version is installed rule. Works fundamentally the same as the other rule. We could just test for the Java DLL, but we want to make sure it's the right version. So in this case, again, we're going to paste in that version number. So in this case, we're looking to see if that Java DLL is, in fact, 7.0.170.2. And if it is, then the client will report that update as installed to the Configuration Manager server. Summary screen. And we're done. And there's our update ready for assignment or publication. So the process of building the package is fairly simple and straightforward with that wizard. Where the work is involved is in testing the update to understand its behaviors, good or bad, and to understand the logic behind building the rules themselves so that you get the right rules in the rule sets.
And the great thing about Java is you will most likely build the update more than once per year. So, once per week. So just to go back to my demo here, do we get my...
There it is.
No, that's the wrong one.
Machine went to sleep.
So let's take the slide. Slide always works. So what other options do we have? As Lawrence mentioned in the agenda, we have, as we see it, we have three, four options. So you can either do everything manually. You can use SCUP. You can use Cicunia, or you can use SolarWinds. Cicunia is a company located in Copenhagen and in Minneapolis. They just opened up an office that not that long ago. They have three products, of which I use one of them, the CSI product. The CSI product integrates into Config Manager. So if you go in and open up your Config Manager console, you'll see that you have a CSI plugin in there where you will get a list of the required updates that you require in your environment. It's a cloud-based solution, so it's fundamentally different from what we have just seen in the way that you do not import a catalog. What you do instead is you basically set up the scanning. So you set up a scan. You can either use the software inventory, so you can say, oh, I want to scan for all executables, I want to scan for DLL files, I want to scan for OCX files. And then Cicunia will take those information, send them to their cloud-based database, and then they will return the list of required updates. So the neat thing about this is that if you create the updates manually, you only create updates that you know about. But now you suddenly get a list of all the installations that you have in your environment, and you were not aware that you actually had 7-zip out there. Maybe you have Wireshark, maybe you have WinZip, and so on and so forth. And the company that I mentioned, the customer that I mentioned a little earlier, I mean, they were totally blown off their feet. They did not expect to see more than 3,000 vulnerabilities, trust me. They knew they had an issue with Java. They thought they were a little behind on Adobe, but that really blew them off their feet. So the installation here, it's a cloud-based solution, as I mentioned, but you can actually get a standalone. What you do is you basically just like SCUP, there is a single installer, then you get the CSI console. If you want to get the plugin, then there is a single installer for that, and then you have a plugin into your Config Manager console. There are a few requirements that you need to set up. Basically, we're using the very same method, so you still need the signing certificate. You can have Cicunia go in and create everything automatically. I don't do that. I would like to create the GPOs myself and so on and so forth. But they can actually do it for us. For vulnerability scanning, as I mentioned, you can get the information in several ways. So you can use SCCM software inventory. So if you have configured your software inventory, you can go in and use that information. There is a CSI agent that you can install on your boxes. You can also do a network scanning if you believe in that. That usually, if you have a large environment, a network scanning is not the best way. So there you definitely want to do the SCCM inventory, or you want to do the CSI agent. How often you want to scan, well, it's entirely up to you. You can go in and configure the agents. You can configure your software inventory scan. Usually we do not recommend that you scan for software inventory more than like once a week, but it's entirely up to you. And then I mentioned down here that we have support for Road Warriors. They have a third application called PSI, which is a standalone installer. You can install it on your laptop or your desktop. And if you have a lot of Road Warriors, they are maybe never ever connected to the network. You can create the agent. You can map that agent to your site. So when they scan, they will automatically upload the information to you, so you still have the information. The reporting part, as I mentioned, it's integrated into Config Manager. One of the neat things is that you actually have a dashboard. And this is the dashboard, this is the results that I saw when I did a scanning against 1,000 clients. So I know you might not be able to see the numbers out here, but what we see here is a list of the extremely critical updates that I have out there. And then you have a list of highly critical and security updates and so on and so forth. And building the dashboard is fairly simple. They already have all the elements, so you just need to go in and pick and choose the elements that you want. You can also create some custom reports, so you can send some reports once in a while to your security team and say, okay, this is the state of the union, this is what it looks like right now. Deploying the patches. Well, deploying the patches, you can either deploy the patches directly from the vendor, or you can use the Secunia-created packages. And using the Secunia-created packages makes your life a little easier. They have already packaged most of the updates that I've been in and testing. One of the issues that I constantly have when I install, for instance, Adobe Reader, or when I patch Java, that is that maybe I had 10 different versions of Adobe Reader installed in my organization, and I really want to get up to the latest secure version that we have. And their custom packages is actually enabling me to do that. So I can go in and I can deploy an Adobe Reader 11, I think it's update 2 now, and it will automatically update my Adobe Reader 9, Adobe Reader 10, and so on and so forth. So suddenly I have the very same version everywhere. It will also disable automatic updates, so all the annoyance of having the pop-ups and so on, it will do that not for all packages, but for the packages that I've tested, like Adobe Flash, Java, which is pretty annoying. So it will remove the update tab that you know in your Java application. It will set the registry key. It will create the two config files that we need to disable everything. And then Adobe Reader as well. The updates are injected into to Config Manager just like we inject any other updates. And let me just do a demo here. So we have... we have absolutely nothing. This is me. This is where I go to my plan B. This is the great thing about having everything in the cloud. I just need an internet connection. So let me just go ahead and connect back into my environment. And by the way, here you can see that I actually did get my Wireshark installed, so it's not one of them normal demos where you don't see the end result. It's actually installed. And it was the right machine, so. Now let's just go in here. So I've already, just like with SCUP, I've already installed Secunia CSI, but trust me, the installation is pretty straightforward. There is an independent console, which is like the main console. You don't have to go in here every single day. I go in here to create my dashboards. I go in here to create my SCCM integration. So if I want to use the SCCM inventory, all I need to do is go in here, configure the SCCM inventory, and then down here you have a button called Configure SCCM, and you basically just punch in the name of your primary site server, and it will connect to that, and then it will get the inventory information from that. So I've already configured software inventory for DLL, for OCX, and my executables. Next one I have is I have the results. So when I'm scanning, it will automatically collect the information from all my clients. So you can see here I have a workgroup installation, I have my own domain, and then I have a remote forest. So there is no really trust between these, but as long as I have a config manager client, everything is okay. They don't really care about this. I'll also get a list of my my programs. So here you can see they detected 182 different programs, of which I have 16 that are insecure. and I'll just change my screen resolution here. But here you, but here you can see I have the list here. If I click, I'll be able to see the number of hosts and so on. So I just get some very basic statistics about the updates. If I go down to patching, then it's here I can do all the magic. So in here, I can say, well, let me just do it like this. I really want to create a package for Adobe Reader 11, for instance. When I create the package, I'll just go in and create the update package. They will automatically show me a wizard. And in the wizard, it says, well, you already have an existing package. Do you want to go in and override that? You can change stuff like the name. I usually do that, so we have a naming standard. I can add in a description. That description will also come on over in Config Manager. And then I can edit the package content. So if you want to do some custom stuff in here, like adding a transform file, you can do that. Otherwise, it's basically just next, and publish. But in here, I said, well, I really want to edit the package content. And I've downloaded a custom Secunia package in here that will disable automatic update, that will remove the shortcut from the desktop. Because to be honest, how many in here are actually using the shortcut on the desktop when you're opening up Adobe Reader? Like, none of you. So what I do is I remove this. This is just the basic silent install. I remove this one. And then I can add in a local file. I've already downloaded, so Secunia has released these packages, and I can go to the website and download them. So I downloaded the Adobe Reader. And this is the custom package. I will go in here, and if you see the silent parameters up here, it has /s. And if I go in here and add in /no update, then it will also disable the automatic update notifications and stuff like that. And from here, it's more or less just next, and publish. Once this one here is published, let's just see here if I have my CMO2 here in the background. Once this one here is published, it will just be injected into WSUS, and just like before, I will just go ahead and initiate a synchronization in WSUS, and the result will be, if I go in here to my Config Manager console, I created the software update group, and in here you can see I have Adobe Reader, I have Apple iTunes, Firefox, Java, and so on. So I just pre-created a few updates, and it's exactly the same look and feeling as distributing an update from SCUP. So, again, I cheated a little bit, already distributed that one. If I go back to my demo client in here, you'll notice that I have Adobe Reader 11. And if I look at my available software, just go ahead and initiate the installation. Also my, not iTunes, it will take like forever, but I can do Oracle and install this one. And they will just go ahead and install just like before. So I'll get back to this one in a few seconds. So while I'm waiting for that one, let me just show you the dashboard. So I'll go back into the Secunia console. The update that I created just before has been downloaded. So if I go into my reporting part in here, you'll see I have the dashboard. And I started this session talking about vulnerability intelligence, having a lot of information about your environment. And this is, that is exactly what I'm getting here. If you start your scanning and you end up, I mean, you need to patch like 4,000 different vulnerabilities, you really want to know where to start. And you can see that in here. So here's the criticalities. You can see where you should actually start. You can see the environment, the history, how many extremely critical updates do you have out there. So all in all, this is giving me a pretty good overview. And if I want to do something else, I could actually also go ahead and create a report and send that report. I have a monthly report, so I'll just go ahead and distribute that monthly report to my managers, and it will show kind of the same thing. So you will have kind of the dashboard in here. You'll get information about the vulnerabilities detected and so on and so forth. And the report can be anything between 3 pages, and at one time I selected everything. It turned out to be 248 pages, which was not a good idea. So with that, let's just go back to the slides here. I'll get back and show you the Java in just a few seconds, but I really want to... Oops, that's not your...
I think you're right there. No.
Oh, yeah, it is. There you go. So you want to control that one?
Okay, so... some notes on SolarWinds Patch Manager, your third option. Question?
In the custom content creator you used in Secunia, it looked very similar to the SCUP content creator. Is it possible to pull in some of the Secunia content and update that in SCUP also?
So if it's possible to take your Secunia packages,
yeah.
I don't see why not, because those are executables. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious.
I'm pretty sure they're not meant for that, but it's an executable, so yeah, you could go ahead and import it into SCUP.
Okay, so SolarWinds Patch Manager, our third option in the collection we've been talking about today. SolarWinds Patch Manager, we build and publish a catalog to the website. The Patch Manager server is installed on-premises, and it's configured to synchronize with that web-based catalog on a daily basis. So all of the update content that you might need to use for all of your major desktop applications is automatically synchronized, brought down into your Configuration Manager environment, ready for use. The console is integrated with the Configuration Manager 2007 console. I'm going to need some more. Also integrated with the Configuration Manager 2012 console, which we're actually going to look at as I plug in the electricity to my notebook. So the way that environment works with SolarWinds Patch Manager is it installs on a separate server, generally. But it can be installed on your site server, on your software update point, if you wish. All of this scanning and deployment activity is actually done in a native Configuration Manager environment. So Patch Manager provides the content to be published to the software update point, but it's a Configuration Manager client that still does all of that scanning and installation work. From the standpoint of compliance reporting, we provide a number of different ways you could get access to that data. Patch Manager includes a web-based read-only dashboard. It's built similar to our Orion suite of network and systems management products, if anybody happens to be familiar with those. There is also custom reporting available in the MMC-based console, which can be customized, scheduled, emailed, exported. The one limitation with this functionality here is that it's all based on data that's reported to the software update point. That comes from the histories of the product being developed as a WSUS tool. So there's an option in the software update point component setup that allows you to let the Windows Update Agent report state information to the WSUS server or to the software update point. If you turn that on, then we can go get that information and provide access to it. Okay, so a couple of different ways we can actually apply patches then, and we're gonna look at one of these in a little bit more detail. The one is through standard configuration manager deployment methodologies. And the other is that Patch Manager also has some update deployment tools built into it that can also be used in a configuration manager environment. Question?
Larry, are there any gotchas in System Center endpoint protection with either one of these products?
So the question is if there is any issues with endpoint protection and SolarWinds or Secunia or SCOP for that matter? Mm. Nope, not what I've seen. I mean, not at all. What anything particular you're thinking about? Or?
I was just wondering if I needed to do something different with Secunia, like authorizing a service there, making an exclusion somewhere?
Nope.
No.
Okay. Command desktop session. All right. So, there it is, just in time. So, we're going to take a look at Patch Manager. So, SolarWinds Patch Manager plugs into the Configuration Manager 2012 console, and it creates this third-party updates node in your software library workspace. We provide some predefined time-oriented views so you can drill in and look at those updates from a time perspective. And I'm actually selecting this year because there may not actually be, this is in a lab environment in Austin, there may not actually be any brand new content synchronized. And this was running when my machine died a moment ago. Here it comes. In addition to the Configuration Manager 2012 console, there is also an MMC console, which is used for Configuration Manager 2007. And you can also work from the MMC console as an alternative to the Configuration Manager console if you wish. One of the scenarios here is that these are all multi-console capable, so you can have multiple packaging users working from either console environment, and they all work with a common data repository, which is stored on the Patch Manager server. So similar to how it works with the other products, you select an update from the list, right-click, publish to the software update point, same sort of standard behaviors there. In addition to the content being ready to use and automatically synchronized, you also have the ability to customize it. So we go through a similar sort of wizard that I demonstrated earlier with SCUP. A little bit different in the UI here. Similar sort of. Now, one of the things that Patch Manager does for you is also guide you to where that vendor's binary file can be downloaded from. So in the SCUP scenario, we worked from the premise that we'd already gone and got that binary file. We'd installed it. We tested it. We figured out what we needed to do to build the package. When you're getting package content being pre-provided for you, you just want that binary file. So in this particular case, the Flash player is not directly downloadable from a public location. In the particular case of Flash, you have to go through Adobe licensing agreements. So we provide you with a tool that will help you guide you through that process. The other enhancements that exist in Patch Manager are the ability to, similar to how with Secunia, you could add the MSP file or MST file in, do a transform of the file. So you can do additional files in Patch Manager. We also have a tool called Package Boot, which allows you to define activities that occur on that client either before or after the update's actually installed. And we use this tool a lot in the packages that we provide. So the ability to go out and terminate processes or run pre-installation programs or run post-installation programs. And that can be used in combination with additional files. So maybe you've got a configuration file. Maybe you want to drop an MMS config file on that machine. You can do that with this sort of customization. Now I want to talk just for a moment about deployment, and I think that will pretty much use up most of our time for today. So in the deployment realm, we can come out here and we can grab a pointer to a machine either from an Active Directory or from the WSS server, the software update point, because they'll be listed in the All Computers group. We have a tool called the Update Management Wizard, which actually allows us to deploy an update directly from the software update point. So when we publish to the software update point, the binary gets dropped out on the software update point as well, too, as part of the publishing process. So we can come out here and load up the Update Management Wizard. I'm going to go through the back door. I turned off some of my menu options. We're going to load the Update Management Wizard through this Computer Explorer, which is similar to the Explorer and Configuration Manager. And I'm coming out here and create a custom management rule. I have a number of deployment options I can define there. And what I can do is I can come out here and I can define an update. Version 7, X64, update 17. And I can set that equals to. And I can build this package to actually go out there, build this task to go out there and actually target that update to one or more systems. It can be done as a scheduled event, or it can be done on demand. So on the next screen, I can, in this case, I'm just targeting that server I happen to select. But I can add additional computers by name. Or I can target that task to the entire domain, to an organizational unit, or to a configuration manager collection. So that's a quick look at Patch Manager's capabilities for synchronizing updates, publishing updates, and potentially even deploying updates, although, again, in normal circumstances, scanning and deployment is going to happen through your native configuration manager activities.
So back to the slides. That was the demo. So the annoyance of the upgrade notification, I mean, it really is a killer. Users are installing Adobe Reader themselves, Google Chrome, Adobe Flash, and so on and so forth. And we have just mentioned a few in here. And I don't know, how can we actually control these? Is there like a red line or?
Well, I think that's part of the challenge, because every product has its own methodologies. There are some very simple products. For example, Google Chrome now has a group policy template that you can go stick out there and turn off Chrome automatic updating. Other things are not so easy. I did some research a couple of days ago on Firefox, and it don't play well. So, you know, we've talked about some options for Reader and Flash. Some of them are as simple as command line options, registry values. But the reality is that it's all over the place in terms of what you have to do sometimes to turn off these auto updaters.
One thing that you need at least to plan for is when you have a third-party patch solution, make sure you get these disabled somehow. And you can do it through if as you saw here in SolarWinds, you can add additional files. As you saw with CSI, you can also, they have custom packages where you don't have to do anything but do the /no update. If you use SCUP as a standalone, use settings management. For instance, Adobe Flash, to disable that, you just need to distribute a single file. That's pretty easy. Figure out which one are non-compliant and create a package or application to distribute that single file. But as Lawrence is saying, that's just Adobe Flash. That's not the same history for all your updates. And with that, I mean, we are here all week. It was a quick demo of SolarWinds, a quick demo of CSI, quick demo of SCUP. I know that you will be around in...
Yes, I will be at the SolarWinds booth in the expo hall all week.
Yeah.
And if you want to,
I don't know, that's
some more.
I know that the Secunia has a booth as well, so go down there and visit both of them. And if you wanna learn more about SCUP, we have some links up here. And if you have any questions, I mean, I have absolutely nothing to do until tomorrow at 3 o'clock, so feel free to ask them.
Earlier you mentioned Secunia uses an agent, or you're using a config manager agent from Secunia?
I actually couldn't hear it.
Secunia use an agent?
So the question is, if Secunia is using an agent?
Right.
Well, they have different alternatives. So you can use a Secunia agent if you want to. It's a very low weight agent, or you can use SCCM inventory data. It's entirely up to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
For how many vendors does Secunia or SolarWinds provide patches?
So the question is, how many vendors? That's a pretty good question. I mean, you can definitely answer for SolarWinds, I believe.
How many what? I've only heard part of the question.
How many vendors do you support in the catalog?
No, for how many do you provide the prepackaged patches?
I know for Secunia, I asked them that question, and it's like the updates that they have released within at least the last 12 months, they have packages for that. And then the information I got back was, updates that we are releasing in the future, they will also have a package. Whether or not that package also will disable automatic updates and so on, I don't know about that, but it will do for most of the applications that we have.
From a SolarWinds perspective, the number of products that are in the catalog are a little bit smaller. They're focused more on the primary desktop applications. But what's available in the catalog is everything we've ever published since way back when, but still has a binary file available for it. So if you wanted to deploy JRE6 U15, I think you could do that.
Stu?
For the dashboards and the reports, are they fully integrated into SCCM so you can also report on your Windows update stuff at the same time? So when you present a report to your security people, it can be fully inclusive, or is that one just your third-party apps and you also have to provide something different for your Windows updates?
So the question is about the dashboard that I quickly showed. Well, that dashboard is only for the updates that are coming through Secunia. But once we have the updates in Config Manager, we can definitely go into SQL Reporting Services and create what we want to do in there. But the Windows updates are not part of that.
So a question about the SCUP console. Everything that we saw there was unique to the individual that was packaging it. Is that correct?
Generally, yes.
Okay, so if the behavior of a patch, once it got imported into SCCM, it needed to be modified or tweaked in response to testing, you'd have to go back to the original packager or repackage it. Is that correct?
Correct. Once the package is published to the software update point and that behavior is locked in place. If you wanted to have different behavior, you'd have to modify it and republish it as a different package or as a revision.
Right. So you can basically go in and edit the packages, supersede the older version that you have, and yeah.
But
you have to do it. You have to do it from within SCUP, SolarWinds, or Secunia. You can't do it from within Config.
But only the original packager can modify that. They're the only ones that would have access to the original source.
In the case of SCUP, yes, because that's a single user solution. Now, in the case of SolarWinds and I believe Secunia, because they work with data store solutions, centralized data stores. So those, you've got multi-console solutions. So if another user has the right access rights, they could go back to that same package and make modifications.
Okay, thank you.
I know Secunia makes reference in their, when they create the packages, that there's limitation to WAS for 100 vendors. And I was just wondering, what other limitations are there for WAS?
What? That's an interesting note. I'm not aware of that limitation.
Okay.
I will research that.
All right.
I've got a question concerning...
That was an easy answer.
I've got a question concerning SCUP and publishing your updates. If you have multiple administrators doing that, is there a way that they can share the same catalog that will show that a patch has already been published from one or the other two individuals? Right now, it seems like if I log in under my credentials and publish a patch, it shows up, but he doesn't see that I've already published that. He has to go back into Config Manager to see that, and instead of looking at the SCUP.
I must have been using my Bose headset too much because I couldn't hear your question. I'm so sorry. Will you please just repeat the question?
Is there a way for multiple administrators to see the published updates that they have approved within the SCUP console?
So you want to have the multi-user functionality?
I want both of my administrators to be able to see all the published updates, not just one that one or the other has approved.
So when you install SCUP, as I mentioned earlier, it will install the database in your user profile. So what you do is you take the database, copy it somewhere else, and then you go in and edit the XML file. And in the XML file, you just add in a line saying the database is over here. And that's basically how you do it. There is a link up here, a complete SCUP guide. I believe that the information is in there. Otherwise, it's a pretty well-known solution. It's not supported, but it works. So it's a pretty well-known workaround.
Thank you.
But you can come up here after, and I will be happy to give you a link. Yeah.
Is there anything in any one of these three products that we've talked about to help us keep our initial deployment of these applications up to date for systems that we're building new to make sure that our initial deployment of the software is at the current version?
That's a very good question. The thing is that this is a security patch solution. So we are patching an existing application. But your scenario is like you walk into an environment where you have a lot of different versions of maybe Adobe Reader or Adobe Flash and so on and so forth. There is a checkbox in Secunia that I know of where you can say make this always installable, so it will basically you always install this package no matter what. It won't look into the detection rules or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So there the answer is yes. For SCUP, we could just go in and create some rules that we know everybody would return true to.
Yeah, that would probably be the easiest way. Is in SCUP is just define an is installable rule that's always true.
Yeah.
Right.
And
okay.
If the package is already installed, the agent won't install it, but otherwise if it's not there, it's going to get there.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
With the built-in catalogs in SCUP, Adobe in particular, how do we configure those to go out and look for updates? Or does that happen automatically? How do we know something came out yesterday or today?
A great question, and that's one of the challenges about rolling your own, if you will, with third-party updates is keeping track of the vendors. When does Oracle release something? When does Adobe release something? Well, Adobe's back the second Tuesday, so that helps a little bit. When does Mozilla release? When does Opera release? And the answer is not good. There is no real easy way. It's about blogs, mailing lists, web subscriptions, whatever, and whatever methodology that vendor uses to provide notifications. It's one of the advantages of using a provided solution, because you can now offload that to a vendor like Secunia or SolarWinds.
Thank you.
And I know that the SCUPDATE catalog that I also mentioned, the one from VMware,
yes,
they're releasing a new catalog every 2 weeks, I believe.
I got a question regarding Secunia and SolarWinds. It's for kind of both. How well do both products manage to patch applications in a multi-language environment, for example, having different languages of Adobe Reader installed on different operating systems with different languages?
You can actually go in when you create the custom update. I didn't show you that, but that there is a drop-down box where you can add in multiple languages.
Yeah.
So you will actually get multiple language support that way.
But the product behaves normally, because I remember trying the PSI version from Secunia on my home computer, Windows 7 Spanish with Adobe Spanish, and it didn't work out very well.
It didn't?
Well, yeah. That's why.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that there are some Secunia people around here, so let's go and talk to them and say, hey, you need to fix that.
Okay.
So just stick up here with me if you want to.
Yeah,
sure.
How does this integrate with Microsoft's typical patching? So you've got all of them in System Center, and then you've got this tool as well. Do these integrate with Microsoft patches or just third-party patches? I don't want to go through the process twice, right?
So in the case of both SCUP and Secunia, those products generally are going to be primarily focused on things other than Microsoft content. From a configuration manager perspective, Patch Manager as well, from this paradigm, really is interested in the third-party content and getting that in the software updates. But Patch Manager does have the capability also to manage Microsoft updates.
You mentioned the catalog that's available from VMware. Is that only for patching VMware virtual machines, or could you use that on any desktop or laptop in your environment?
So I know it's a bit awkward that VMware has a catalog, but a few years ago VMware bought Schaefflick, and Schaefflick had a product called SCUPDATES, and it's actually that catalog. So it has something like 800 different vulnerabilities in there. There are some VMware products, but there are definitely also Apple and Adobe and Sun Java. There are a lot of different Windows in there, so it's a pretty rich catalog.
Thank you.
Okay, with that.
Yep, one more.
One more?
We'll take one more.
Does this integrate with Linux, Unix?
I'm sorry?
Can we do Linux and Unix systems?
Linux, Unix, no. And the limitation with that from now, actually, there's two parts to that, and there are other sessions this week on managing Linux, Unix through software deployments. But from a patching perspective, no, because the dependency is on that Windows Update Agent infrastructure that only does Microsoft executables.
Yeah, so for Config Manager, you can create a traditional Config Manager package and patch it that way. So yeah, that would be the Config Manager solution.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. And if anybody has any other questions as the week goes on, we'll all be around.